Welcome to the Dr. Obed Obinade podcast. Dr. Obed is a thought leader and apologist who speaks to life's great existential questions of origin, purpose, faith, and destiny with fluency and grace. He is an author and the president of the Christ Cosmopolitan Incorporated, a vibrant apostolic commission that heralds the message of the fullness of Christ. Dr. Obed has seen his ministry soar to great heights over several years, touching the lives of many across the globe through his various ministry platforms. May you grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ as you listen to mind-renewing and heart-enlightening messages by Dr. Obed. Do enjoy this teaching. God bless you.
Only with your eyes you will behold the reward of the wicked. The Lord is on our side. Of whom shall we be afraid? The Lord is with us as a mighty man of valor. The Lord is with us in our camp as a defense and as a guard. Oh, the hope of Israel. We bless your name this morning, that you are for us and you are not against us. Let the words we share today impact the hearts of your people and bring us life and light. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You're welcome to this morning's breakthrough time. I believe that you're poised to hear what God has to say this morning, especially where we're dealing with the marks of divine presence. What are the signs that show that there is a divine presence around you? We've walked our way through journeys over the weeks. We've gone through the dialectic presence of God. We've dealt with our dialectic self. We've dealt with matters of quick understanding. We've dived into the distinction that lies between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And today, I still want to thrive along the lines where we started from last week. And I want to share something that is very profound, very personal with every believer, personal for me myself. It is actually the measure of my spiritual temperature every time. Anybody that knows this will be able to diagnose whether they need a renewal or a revival and when to undertake spiritual actions to keep yourself in that fervency of the Holy Ghost. When we read the scriptures, the word of God illustrates that on the road to Emmaus, an incident happened after Jesus Christ had died and resurrected. That there were three guys that were moving from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. And there is an interesting description, and I would want to take time off and touch on that, because that is where the secret to this morning's meeting lies. He said two of them were on the way to Emmaus, and the Bible is emphatic. He says Emmaus was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. I want you to keep that in your mind. I want to read it in the Message Bible and also in the NIV in the verse 13. And I would want you to read for me.
Luke 24:13, the yes. Message Bible.
Yes.
That same day. Two of them were walking to the village Emmaus.
Okay.
About 7 miles out of Jerusalem.
The word of God says from Emmaus to Jerusalem is about 7 miles. Let's read it also in the Message Bible.
What we read was Message. So
okay, we read in the NIV.
NIV.
Yes.
Now, that same day,
yes.
Two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem.
All right, so we now understand from the King James, he says that the distance was 70 furlongs. Then, in the NIV, he now breaks it down to contemporary metric distance measures.
Yes, sir.
He says it was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, before we carry on, I would want to illustrate to those who are in Accra and those who are in Kumasi, because these are places that I'm very much, acquainted with distance. And especially when you're dealing with a geodetic engineer, you should know that distances come easily for me. And I know that when I take a certain number of steps, I can tell how long a place is. I know that if I move, this number of steps, this is 100 feet for me. If I go this number of steps, this is 1 kilometer for me. And I remember when I was doing my project work in second year, we had to do a distance of 2 kilometers. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was the first time I appreciated distances.
Okay.
Because we were supposed to survey a distance of 2 kilometers square.
Okay.
Around the KNUST campus. Okay. And everybody who went through geodesy, I believe strongly that even the geomatic present students who are in second year will have to take on that task. You have to go 2 kilometers surveying. All right. So now, just think about it this way. When we say 7 miles, 7 miles is approximately 12 kilometers.
Okay.
Approximately, it's about 11 point decimals to 12 kilometers. So you roughly would round it off to the highest kilometer. So the Bible does not even say it was 7 miles. It said it was about 7 miles.
Okay.
It was because they were measuring it by the number of steps you had to take.
Okay.
Now, so let's relate 7 miles so that if you are able to appreciate what scripture is saying.
Talking about.
Okay. Now, from KNUST, Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, all the way to Asafo is 6 kilometers.
Okay.
So
Tech, like from Tech Junction.
Not from Tech Junction, from campus, KNUST. So let's say from the administration.
Okay.
All the way to Asafo roundabout is 6 kilometers.
6 kilometers.
Okay. Now, from Tech Junction all the way to KJTR Market is 9 kilometers. All right. So instead of looking at it as 9 kilometers, let's look at it from let's say that you get to Asafo and back.
So
you do a round trip.
Then you are looking at double 6.
That good. Makes it 12. That makes it 12 kilometers. Okay. You need to keep that at the back of your mind.
Okay.
Now, from East Legon,
all
the way to Independence Square, is about 12 kilometers. So that is a straight walk. So if you are coming all the way from East Legon, straight down to the Independence Square, that is center of Accra, near Osu, then you are dealing with 12 kilometers distance walk.
Okay.
So now put that at the back of your mind. We are the people who are undertaking a walk. They are headed from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they are walking from East Legon
to Independence Square
before they get to Emmaus.
Okay.
Or they are walking all the way from KNUST to Santase roundabout.
Okay.
So let's make it that way. About 12 kilometers. Okay, good. Then something happens. And that is what today will make the difference. I don't know where you live and what 12 kilometers will be like for you, but those of you in Kumasi and those of you in Accra, put that at the back of your minds and imagine that you are on a walk to a village 7 miles away from you. Okay? Then the Bible says, as we're on the road conversing, because usually such walks, to do such walks alone will be very boring.
Yes.
You need a partner. So there were two whilst they were on their way. As they were going, Jesus approached them. And they were talking about the scriptures. And the Bible says Jesus opened up the scriptures to them. That's not enough. Then their eyes were opened. They arrived in Emmaus. At the breaking of bread, Jesus vanished from them. Wow. Anyway, that would be for another time. That simply meant that they were not dealing with an ordinary man. A man that can vanish.
Can disappear.
A man that can, you see, to disappear is not powerful like he vanished. Actually, the Bible says he vanished.
Okay.
Okay. Jesus was with them. In the breaking of bread, he vanished, from them. You see, you can disappear by going out.
Okay.
Quietly, you disappear.
But the picturesque of the vanishing.
That means that as you are watching,
he just
he didn't disappear, he vanished.
He vanished.
Okay, so he disappeared. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him.
He vanished.
And he vanished out of their sight. Then now they pass the remark. Wow. Something was happening to us, but we did not take notice of it. We should have realized that this man was different.
Was different.
They said one to another. Read.
And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
Did not our heart burn within us?
Okay.
Listen, it makes a difference between who is anointed to bless you. If you listen to a man of God and you don't sense the burning of the heart, within a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, no burning in your heart, it is either something is wrong with you or something is wrong with the man of God. Two things. Yes.
So it's like it's a sure sign, a witness that God has given for you to be able to identify who to listen to, where you belong.
Exactly.
Okay.
Your heart. The burning in your heart. It shows the moment you're listening and your heart begins to burn, it shows that, hey, you are dealing with divine things. They said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us
while he talked with
us, by the way,
while he opened to us the scriptures?
Good. This must be an uncommon being. No wonder our hearts were burning within us. The marks of divine presence. The burning in your heart. The burning in your heart. Have you ever been in a meeting or in your private closet reading the scriptures, doing something which is a spiritual activity, and then in that moment, you felt your heart burning? Friend, it's a mark that the atmosphere has changed. And when you linger on that burning heart, I'm about to show us what to do with it. Very important. Now, imagine, look at verse 30, and now let's go into the secrets of the 7 miles.
Verse 30. And it came to pass.
Let's go to verse 28.
28.
Yes.
And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And
he made as though.
And he made as though he would have gone further.
All right.
29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us.
Abide with us.
Toward evening.
It is toward evening.
And the day is far spent.
The day is far spent.
And he went in to tarry with them.
Okay, so now let's get it this way. This was evening. The day is far spent. Now, put yourself in the condition of the people who were on the road to Emmaus at that point in time. Put yourself in that condition. Just think about it. You are walking from East Legon all the way to Independence Square. You have arrived. Time is far spent. It is evening. You constrain a man that this man should stay with you, eat a little, and take his rest. He does. And in the breaking of bread, he vanished.
He vanishes.
You have walked seven miles. And so what? Look at verse 33.
24:33.
Yes.
And they rose up the same
instantly hour. They rose up the same hour.
And returned to Jerusalem.
Hold on.
The same hour.
The same hour. You to me in same way, so we can't sit here. This matter, we cannot sit on it.
And return to Jerusalem.
Can we go on a quick break? Because I'm being interrupted in the studio and I'll come back. Thank you. Just on a quick break. We'll be back soon. And when you use understanding to carry out spiritual activity, testimonies are inevitable. The ball of anointing that just hits this room right now by those statements that are made, what I saw in the spirit, something just broke, and I saw angels stepping into the rooms of people. So we're seeing two men. All the way from where? Jerusalem, headed to Emmaus. Now, Fifi, I don't know if you would want to do this thing in any day.
This kind of walk.
A walk. You walk from East Legon to Independence Square.
That's not easy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you arrive and an incident happens. Mm-hmm. And it's late. Why not sleep?
And you still walk back.
Then you decide, we cannot sit on this matter. In that same hour, they returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 gathered together.
And them that were with them.
34.
Saying, the Lord is risen indeed.
Mm.
And hath appeared to Simon.
Mm. Read on.
And they told what things were done in the way.
Mm.
And how he was known of them in breaking of bread.
Now, I want to find out something from you. When was the last time you found an urgency in your heart to take a walk to witness about Jesus? Interesting. Somebody said, Asemo. Now, I expect that if Jesus has vanished, Charlie, quite know what my end up yet. It's too 7 miles.
Naturally,
back.
You're going to be tired after
tired. Walking. And you see, they were the ones that told Jesus that he should come in and rest.
Now this man vanishes for the vanishing.
And instantly what happens?
You now say you have to go back.
Why do you think they had to go back? Their hearts were burning. Burning hearts. It's revealed in corresponding action to witness about Jesus. Today you sit in your house and you say that going for evening service, you want to sleep a little. Midweek services have become a cemetery.
Yes, Papa.
The crowds can't gather. Why? Something might be wrong with the pastor, or something is wrong with the people. I told you. There is a missing mark of divine presence. People now want to be in church on a Sunday out of obligation, not out of a burning heart.
God have mercy.
Leaders are now withdrawing from the work of ministry not out of a burning heart, but they are doing the service of God out of obligation. I'm asking you, man of God, before you walk your way into the podium to speak, do you sense your heart burning? Or now is the time you have to preach a Sunday, so you just go into the scriptures, find something to go and utter to fulfill an obligation of your duty as a man of God. Or you are just in church fulfilling a certain guilt on your conscience that you were in church. Do you know what's happening to you? Your heart is growing cold. A cold heart, a burning heart. There is no midway. It is what every person in Christ must use to determine their temperature, spiritual temperature. Your heart is an altar. The fire should not go out. How do you do this? You have to attend to that fire on the altar. What does it mean? That there is constantly a mark of divine presence in your environment. It is a conditioning. A mark of divine presence. A burning heart. A mark of divine presence. An action that is born out of a burning heart because of a divine presence. You act out as a witness in the things of God because your heart is burning. They said one to another. What does it mean? Number two, you must be in an atmosphere. I felt that it is just one person whose heart was burning. No. Our hearts burned.
So they were both having the same
experience. The same experience in that same condition. Because if you are not in the right environment where iron sharpens iron, soon you are going to grow cold.
So that then we are talking about because iniquity shall abound, the love of
many shall grow cold.
Okay.
So there is the cold heart. And I like how he puts it in the Passion Translation. In the Passion Translation. Can you fetch it for me right away? In the Passion Translation. In the Passion Translation. Stanley, can you please be quick with this for us, please? So, Luke 21:34.
I read.
Luke 21:34. Passion Translation.
21:34.
Yes.
Okay. Be careful that you never allow your heart to grow cold.
Hold on. Be careful that you don't allow your heart to grow cold. How?
Remain passionate.
Be passionate. Passion.
And
passion.
Free from anxiety.
Stop anxiety and worries of this life. Do you know why you are losing your passion for the things of God? One, the cares of this world are beginning to take your attention from the things of God. No money in your pocket. Worries of this life. And usually, you would hear church folks, especially leaders, growing cold. They don't find the drive, the joy in doing the things that they are for
God have mercy.
Used to do. What's happened? Diagnose yourself. Your heart has become cold. At first, you used to be in church 30 minutes before church starts. Now you walk one tonely into church services.
Now when you come 3 hours after Christ.
No and one. You don't even have any striking guilt of a conscience
God have mercy.
That you are 15 minutes late to the service. You can even walk in 3 hours late and you are normal. Okay. Diagnose your spiritual temperature. You have become cold. And you know what the Bible says? Be careful that you never allow your heart to grow cold. How? Remain passionate.
And free from anxiety.
Free from anxiety.
And the worries of this life.
And the worries
then
of this life.
Then you will not be caught off guard by what happens.
Don't let me come and find you drunk
or careless in living like everyone else. Oh God. This is a message.
It's a message. It's a mark of divine presence.
But interestingly, I'm seeing two things here.
Yes.
Now, from last week, where we were speaking about the mark of divine presence, about the burning heart.
Yes.
For me, the dimension that was opened up was, okay, there's a divine presence.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody speaking carries a divine presence.
Exactly. So
by virtue of that person speaking,
mm-hmm.
there's that effect that
on you
feel on you. So now your heart is burning in response to the
to
presence
the words
that is
coming.
Is coming.
Yes.
But now, mm-hmm. I'm seeing the other aspect.
The other side.
Where you yourself as an individual, mm-hmm. so no longer you premise it by saying that if you don't feel that, there's either a problem with the transmitter or you as the receiver.
Exactly.
So you could actually have a stale state
yes.
where there's divine presence. So mm-hmm. somebody is feeling the burning heart. So, for instance, these two people. Say, mm-hmm. Did not our hearts
burn? Our hearts burn.
Would have been possible that one
like
of them...
the third person is so cold.
He's so cold.
It's not even in the atmosphere. That's how come... First, mm. the moment the praise is on, you're on the floor. Mm. You find a reason to praise God. You find a reason to sing. Mm. But now, there's no fire in your heart any longer. It is like when you meet a fresh girl.
Mm.
Or when you get married afresh.
Mm.
Everything is beautiful.
Yeah.
The fire and the passion. After 6 months to 1 year.
6 months, great hour. Now say, dear, is you. Apostle. Now say, 6 months is a dust. Generation. I was a generation in 6 months. Mm.
The fire is gone.
It's gone.
The heart has become cold.
Have mercy.
I mean, somebody that I know, who is my right hand man on Susumusem, the workings he will walk to go and see you off.
Mm.
Hey, Apostle Sherry. The last time when Sherry was telling me about the works he used to give Emilia.
Hey.
Hey. He would take a walk. He would take a walk. And one of those days, he had a terrible attack.
Apostle.
He had to sacrifice his arm.
For love.
For love.
Mm.
The fire. Mm. The passion.
Serious. I remember when he was returning with the proof of victory. Wow.
Whenever we say the heart has become cold,
mm.
it means that the fire of love and passion is no more. People, how do you know somebody has a burning heart for you? The miles they go for you.
Mm.
Somebody walks 7 miles in the night, receives an encounter, and walks back that same hour.
Forgets about the tiredness, the whatever.
The 7 miles has become like a military walk. Under divine orders and commands. I know a man called Jeremiah. He said, when I decide I'm not going to do it again, I can't.
Mm.
Why? I'll not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name.
But his said, word, by his word was in my heart.
It was in my heart.
As a burning fire.
Shut
up in my bones.
Hold on. It was now controlling my actions, my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Let's read it in the Message Bible. Jeremiah 20, the verse number 9.
Jeremiah 20, verse 9.
And when we are done, we'll go back to the Passion Bible and read it.
But if I say, forget it.
Hold on. Forget it. Anytime, listen, spirituality is very simple. Everybody right now, diagnose your spiritual temperature. From man of God to apostle to member, diagnose your spiritual temperature. So yeah, those days we were on fire. Where's the fire now? Hey, those days. No, it must be these days. Where is the fire? Forget it. Where are you, Kim? Forget it. We all make code. Oh, forget it.
You won't be that.
Where you ain't check. But if I say,
Forget it. No more God messages from
me. I'm not going to be speaking any message from God.
The words are fire in my belly.
It's fire in my belly.
A burning in my bones.
It's a burning in my bones.
I'm worn out.
I cannot.
Trying to hold it in.
I can't do it any longer. I can't stop myself. Why? Burning hearts.
God have mercy.
Do you know that there is a commandment for every believer to keep their fire? In the book of Romans, the chapter 12, the verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 11, and verse 12.
Okay. The KJV says,
now listen.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
So now we are seeing Paul is looking at sacrificial service to God.
Holy.
Acceptable.
Unto God. Which is your reasonable service.
Verse 11.
Not slothful in business.
Fervent.
In spirit.
Serving.
The Lord.
The same verse that he calls you to present your bodies, he says they would come to that place in sacrificial service to God as a living sacrifice. You come to that place in verse 11 of your life. You now become lazy at God's business. You will lose fervency in your spirit as you serve the Lord. And the beautiful thing about this verse is how the Amplified and the Passion and the Message Bible puts Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 11.
So, the Passion Translation, let's take verse 1.
Be enthusiastic.
Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous message?
I encourage you
to surrender yourselves to God, to be in His sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship.
Then 11.
Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord.
Have enthusiasm.
Keeping your passion toward Him.
Boiling hot.
Radiate with the glow
of the Holy Ghost.
And let Him fill you
with excitement
as you serve Him.
Oh, goodness.
But I can't help but ask in this moment, because we are looking at two things, like I said. The experience that comes as a response.
Yes.
And what must be done.
But
practically, how do you do this? How do you keep yourself passionate? How do you...
It's like asking me, how do you love?
No, you see, Papa, why I'm asking
the
that
reason is
that...
The reason is this. Love is not taught. Love is kept.
Okay.
Fire is not taught. Fire is caught and maintained.
So just like you're supposed to keep the fire on the altar burning.
Exactly.
You keep... putting the logs of fire that it never
and take out the ashes.
Okay. So if I'm getting you right, the sequence is that the burning experience comes.
Yes.
That's probably sovereign will, not with your own effort. Now that that comes and it's
what are you doing with it?
What are you doing with it?
Exactly.
So what you do with it is what maintains that
the fire.
Okay.
And the moment you realize that you are growing cold, go to that place of your beginning.
Do the first works.
Do the first works.
Okay.
That is your first love. Mm. Go back to that place. Go back into prayer. Go back into the closing. Reach out to God and go back to the first works. You don't return to your first love. You do the first works. Then there is a refueling of the first love. As simple as that. Remember from whence you have fallen. And repent and do the first works.
Or else, I'll come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent.
And he said, because you have left your first love.
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee.
Mm-hmm.
I have somewhat against thee.
Because
thou hast left thy
first. You have left your first love. You don't return to it. How do you ignite the first love?
You remember from whence thou art fallen.
Consciousness.
You repent.
Change your mind.
And do the first work.
Action. Go back to action. And have a sense of understanding. Divine presence creates a burning heart. Never lag in zeal. Serving the Lord. Boiling hot. The Passion Translation again. Be enthusiastic in your service to God. Romans 12 verse 11.
Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord.
Keep
your passion toward him.
Boiling hot. Radiate.
With the glow of the Holy Ghost.
Let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. How do you know now you are just losing? Your heart has grown cold. You are no longer excited about these things. These things don't excite me. It is not that there is a problem with that thing. There may be a problem with you. Or there may be a problem with that thing.
Is there a way to tell where the problem is coming from?
Of course, you can tell.
Okay.
When you get back to the action and there is still no fire, then you should know that you have to go back to God. To find out if he's still there. Is he in it? If he's not, it doesn't matter what you do outwardly. There will be no fire.
There will be no fire.
But if he's still there, and the next thing, are others testifying of the fire? If others are testifying of the fire, you cannot say then there is no fire. Then there's something wrong with you.
Most likely the problem.
You have a problem. Because, listen, this experience is corporate. That is how come when people begin to withdraw from corporate service of the Lord, soon you see them cold. It's the first sign. This guy, the way he's going, or this lady, the way he's going, in no while, you just grow cold. Because keeping up the fire is a company thing. One charcoal cannot cook rice.
Exactly.
I say it again. One charcoal cannot cook rice. You will need charcoals to come together. Lighter charcoal to help light the other, to ignite the fire, and together they become vehement, and your rice gets cooked. One hole in the gas burner cannot cook rice. You will need multiple holes acting together to cook whatever you want and what you need. Don't stay alone. Stay in the atmosphere of divine presence. Where others testify of the fire of God in your heart, be enthusiastic. Friend, be enthusiastic. In your service to God. Would you walk back 7 miles when it's 8 p.m. to go and tell people the Lord has risen, as he said? The final one. A burning heart is a sign that you are in the throne room.
Okay.
A burning heart is a sign that your spirit being has been carried to the throne room. Why? The closer you get to the throne, the more you sense the heat of the throne. The Bible said a stream of fire streams from the threshold of the throne. There is a fire that streams in the presence of God, along with the seraphims, the burning ones, in his presence. The further you are away from God, the less heat you feel. The more you come close to God, the more fire you feel. When you read the book of Isaiah chapter 6, we are not going to read it. Go back and read from verse 1 to the verse 7. The Bible says, and a burning one, a seraph, flew with coals of fire. If there is any prayer anybody would have to pray, whenever you sense you're growing cold in the things of God, number one, your heart to love. Number two, angelic assistance with encounters of the experience of the burning ones. Do you know what the Bible says? He maketh his ministers and his messengers wings and fire.
Wings of fire.
You cannot stand in the ministry of God without fire. Every ministry done in the absence of fire will attract flies and becomes a playing ground for demons and devils. Every house fly is sensible to tell, too much heat, I can't get close. And do you know that Beelzebub is the lord of flies? Nobody gives an announcement to house flies that the food is hot, get away. The temperature announces itself. It prevents them from coming. The vehemence is enough. He maketh his ministers. He maketh his messengers. Winds and fire. Never a man served in the ministry or became his messenger without flaming fire. Today I end with Psalm 104, the verse number 4.
Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire?
The Passion Translation and Message Bible. Psalm 104, the verse number 4.
Message. You commanded winds as messengers, appointed fire and flame as ambassadors. You make your messengers into winds of the spirit,
and
all your ministers become flames of fire.
There is not one person who is supposed to stand before God in his presence doing ministry without this mark of divine presence, fire. Wow. Is it not true that on the day of the Holy Ghost, in Acts chapter 2, there were cloven tongues of fire. Burning hearts. Fire in your heart, a boiling pot in your belly. The sensation of heat is a mark of divine presence. Please, admit to yourself that the fire you have has gone down or has grown cold and refire. Everybody should be able to tell their spiritual temperature. And if you are called to notice, don't argue with yourself. See it. It's true. And your spiritual temperature should be of concern to you. Finally, I would say, please don't take it too hard to be offended. Fire that is maintained is by the scriptures and not by prayer. Fire that is maintained is by the scriptures and not by prayer. Did not our hearts burn? Not when we were talking, but when he was talking.
And he opened to us the scriptures.
When he opened to us the scriptures. True fire is not how long you have prayed. True fire is how long you have listened to do. we will be careful to do is a sign of fire.
All that
pray and fast and never do. The moment you see a servant heart in obedience to his commandments of all that he has said is a sign of fire. Some people feel that a journey has already known because in Pybonic form. When they had to do his commandments is gone, there's no fire. I love to pray. I know the advantage of prayer. I pray for hours. I pray for days. I pray for weeks. But I know the difference. The impact of the scriptures and the exhibits of divine service to God is totally different from the advantage prayer gives. You might be walking in assumption that prayer is fire. You are just walking in assumption. You are the one thinking so. It is not so. Prayer is not fire. Prayer is not fire.
But this is because I think that's what fervency has been. Being fervent.
Being fervent is what? Okay, I want you to hear that.
Oh, bomb pie.
I don't know how they can want you.
I've been for strong. Really?
I've been for strong pie,
but. Like, these are the things that we hear.
Where did you find that?
Papa.
I've been for strong pie.
Like, if you're a very prayerful person and you're always hot.
I've been for strong.
Yes. Evil is afraid to come close to you.
I mean, before close, I really don't know. I really don't know which witch is afraid of you because you are praying. I really don't know. Witches are not afraid of your prayer. Mm. No. How will a witch be afraid of your prayer?
Interesting.
If you pray, so what? So a witch will be afraid of you?
Because you are hot.
Oh, really?
You're a naked wire. If you touch you.
Do you know what we are made? Do you know the kind of what you are trying to say? Do you know what you are trying to
Papa
say?
Papa, tell me.
That's what makes you think you're on fire.
That's the
okay. So what about this one?
No, that one
you are not praying.
Are you
praying?
Your heart is waxing cold. You are not hot. You see, you must be hot.
How hot?
You must be peppery.
What is spiritual fervency? How peppery is spiritual fervency? Show me how you know you are hot.
You see, always. when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, that's when you are hot. There's pepper in your mouth. Always ready to release fire. You see, spiritually.
Let me show you the true way of true fire.
Okay, Papa.
I'm going to show it to you because of what you brought in.
Yes, Papa.
I'm going to show you when I finish. You get me a scripture for what you are saying.
Yes, Papa.
I'm showing you what I'm saying.
Okay, Papa.
The highest form of fire is meditation. Not the day that you are doing.
Wow.
When I finish, you have to provide your own.
Hey, all those who inspired that this supply, I mean, it makes a tremendous power available for their supply.
Oh,
the effectual fervent prayer.
Let's go to the book of Psalms.
Okay, Papa.
Let me show you something. Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Now, you quoted a verse of scripture. I'm going to help you with that verse and let you know that what you are trying to say is not what it is. So let's start with Psalm 39,
okay,
verse 3.
So should I read my scripture first?
Read your scripture first. You are providing a scripture for it, right?
Yes, Papa.
Okay, carry on.
So James 5:16.
Yes.
Confess your faults one to another.
Uh-huh.
Pray one for another.
That
and he may be healed.
The what?
The effectual, fervent, prayer of a righteous man, availeth much.
What,
give me the amplifier.
Carry on.
The earnest, heartfelt,
okay,
continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working.
Okay, so what?
You a naked wire. Naked wire. Holy Ghost naked wire.
You know your problem.
But tell me.
Your problem is Pentecostalism and charismatism. Mm. That is what is worrying you. Pentecostalism and charismatism. Mm. That is what is worrying you.
The pepe.
Let me say, please don't be offended. Mm. We're actually dealing with actual things.
It's very serious.
Let's read it. Psalm 39, verse 3, and handle this matter as we go.
Okay.
We'll read it. We'll read it. We'll read it in Good News Bible.
Okay.
King James, Amplified, Message, and the Passion Bible. Then we'll go back to the verse that you quoted, and I'll show you something.
Yes, Papa.
Okay, Psalm 39.
So, Psalm 39, verse 3.
Uh-huh.
My heart was hot within me.
When I was doing what?
While I was musing.
Mm.
The fire burn.
Hold on. Jesus. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, while I was meditating, that was when the fire burned. How did the fire burn?
While I was musing.
While I was musing, the fire burned. Then speak I with my tongue. Let's read it again. In the Message Bible, the Amplified Bible, and the Passion Translation.
Message says, my insides got hotter and hotter.
And what happened?
My thoughts.
Hold on. Jesus. You want fire. My thoughts did what?
They boiled over.
I what?
I spilled my guts.
He said there should be fire in what?
Yes, in my belly. Jesus.
Amplified.
My heart was hot within me.
Why?
While I was musing.
The fire.
The fire burned.
Then I spoke with my tongue.
Passion Translation.
Mm-hmm.
My heart burned with a fire within me.
Come on.
And my thoughts eventually boiled over.
Until
they finally came rolling out of my mouth.
Pause. This is the secret to fire. What is the difference? Now, we'll go back to, still the Passion Translation.
Okay.
Please still keep it there. The Passion Translation. Let me explain something to you. Fervent prayer, Fifi, is not screaming prayer. A fervent prayer is a heartfelt prayer. It is praying with your heart in the prayer. It is not the screaming. For they say, Lord, Lord, but their heart is not with me. Hear this. My heart burned with a fire within me. My thoughts eventually boiled over until finally they came rolling out of my mouth. Lord, help me to know how fleeting my time on earth is. That's why now he goes into, let me know my days, that I might apply my heart to wisdom. So then, what you read in the book of James, you skipped something in the lines.
I wanted to make my point. So he says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that he may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. I think the Amplified.
What is fervent prayer?
He says, The earnest,
heartfelt
and continued
prayer
of a righteous man. That's what makes tremendous power available.
So he's letting you know, it is not prayer that makes tremendous power available.
There's a kind of prayer.
The prayer that makes tremendous power available is the prayer with your heart. How will you know? Don't talk till your heart is boiling. Bad. And that's what he shows us in Psalm 39. So where is the fire coming from? Is it coming from the prayer or is it coming from the musing in your heart?
It's coming from the musing.
Good, you got it now. So let's read the Passion Translation again. Psalm 39.
My heart burned with a fire within me.
And
my thoughts eventually boiled over.
My thoughts. So you see, you have to have in meditation, your thoughts should heat up before you say, in the name of Jesus. Before you open your mouth. That's how come. I remember just a couple of weeks ago, one of my daughters in Accra was admitted at a 37 military hospital. She was at the intensive care unit. I walked into the intensive care and discharged everybody in the intensive care. I didn't say anything to the rest in the intensive care unit. I went, and what I said is a covenant between me and God. She could not hear anybody. She was not responding, couldn't move her limbs, nothing. I plugged my mouth into her ears in silence and spoke to her spirit. Didn't scream, didn't shout, didn't shake over. Whilst I was walking to the 37 military hospital at the intensive care unit, my thoughts were hot. I had stayed in deep musings that I was discharging her from the hospital. I went with you to see a young man that was during the days of COVID.
Yes, sir.
Lying at the hospital.
Yes, sir.
No screaming, no gimmicks. Just stood quietly. Really didn't say anything to him. Just watched him in the eye. And I said to him, you are leaving here in 3 days. God be with you.
I remember the instant response.
And to somebody he instantly couldn't move.
Couldn't move, nothing.
So where's the fire?
Oh God.
We need to get this. Meditation should precede the talking thing that charismatics and Pentecostals do.
God have mercy.
That is how come with all the screaming, they get very little done. With all the shouting, it's evident. Please, I'm not against Pentecostals and charismatics. I also pray like that. I also believe what they believe.
We do breakthrough time.
Breakthrough time.
They watch that.
But you see, we all know what is called Pentecostalism. We are not touching a denomination. We are talking about what is Pentecostalism. Oja, 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 oja. And that is it. That is Pentecostalism. That's charismatism. You see. But, friend, let's go to the source. My thoughts boiled over. What a brief time. Bring me that. Bring me that, just where you left.
No, that's not it.
All right. So,
what a brief. That was a fact.
My heart burned with a fire within me. My thoughts eventually boiled over. Until it finally came rolling out of my mouth. That's the key. Before you speak, speak out of fire. Before you talk, talk out of fire. Let the fire be in your heart. Let it burn in your head before it rolls out of your mouth. You have so much accomplished. If you don't mind, you can try what I'm saying for 3 weeks. Scream for 3 weeks. And then when you are done, do 3 days of deep meditation and getting the fire in your heart to enter your head and talk. Look at the results that you would get. Totally different. Does it mean we don't scream? No. The Bible talks about with shouting and loud cries. Jesus, in the face of fear and death. Yes. So there is a place of shouting. But then we need to know that the fire is not made in the shout. The fire is made in the musing in your heart. That is where the fire is.
It's actually what causes the shout.
It's actually what creates the effect. Comes out of your mouth. But if you shout when there is no fire in your heart, it is not fervent prayer. He didn't say the prayer of a righteous man maketh tremendous power available. It is the effectual, fervent prayer. That is what makes tremendous power available.
But when you were in the U.S. and you were teaching, you were speaking about when to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that everything must be rooted in the frequency within. So that what is happening within is what causes the trigger that should come outside.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how come Jesus, he will not show up if you tell him Lazarus is sick. He wants to arrive and create an effect. It's not in the many shouting and dancing about. We are behaving like the priest of Baal, cutting ourselves, but no effect. Jumping from morning to afternoon, sweating, but no effect. But we understand the dealings with God and his divine programming. We will be able to make the greatest impact. I believe strongly that you've been blessed this morning. Play this message over and over and over and over. Stay in prayer. Stay in fire. Make sure that you are in prayer for the right reasons. And you are doing and creating the impact that you should make in the service of God. Keep the fire burning. Don't become cold. Let love in your heart drive you through in all that you do for kingdom. Be able to tell your present spiritual temperature and get back to refire. The grace of God be with you. Stand in his presence, experiencing the calls from the altar. May seraphs fly your way. May they touch your inmost beings with coal from the altars of heaven, in the name of Jesus. And I pray for you that as you constantly stay on this frequency, your life can only get better. You can only carry the glow of the Holy Ghost, being enthusiastic in the service with your God. It's time to send in your offerings in Jesus' name. Send in your offering right now. Key into this grace. Seal the promise of the impact that has been made on your heart and on your life right away. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May the grace of God spill out blessings on you because you have sown into this platform.
In the name of Jesus.
And I declare that my God never disappoints. May you never be disappointed in any way, even today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. We trust that you've been blessed with truths for life. Be sure to subscribe to the Dr. Obed Obinna Day podcast to receive new messages every week. Until next time, remain blessed. Shalom.